First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Freethought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, April 28th, 2024. I'm Larry Rhodes, or DJ Doubter 5. And as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
It's my party, and I'll flex if I want to.
Cool.
Flex if I want to.
And our guests today are Boudreaux, Dread Pirate Higgs, River, and Sarah. Welcome.
Oh,
nice. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religions, religious faith, gods, holy books, and superstition, I'll get it out, and Pastafarianism, I'm sure. If you think you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. Here in Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,100 of us. We're the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK. And we'll tell you more about us after the mid-show break, so be sure to stick around. Well, Wombat, what's our topic today?
Today, we're talking about new beginnings. New beginnings, and how to start your own atheist group, why it's important, tips and tricks, our past successes. But before we get into that, I do want to say that this is our last show. We've been doing this for 365 episodes over 7 years.
7 years. Yeah, a lot of the early episodes weren't recorded, so we didn't count them. So it's 365 recorded.
Broadcasted out into space. They're broadcasted out into space. They're somewhere having a video at the moment right now. But I can't imagine a greater group of people coming in to celebrate this moment with
us.
We appreciate everybody here.
Yeah, thank you.
Before we get into the hysterics, where we cry and, buying some time. Nice. Before we get into the hysterics, where we throw out some tips, let's do our last Pastafarian invocation as a group. Guys, would you please bow your heads and wrap your noodly appendages together as we commemorate this moment with our own Dread Pirate Higgs.
Holy Lord, who art in a colander, Aldante be thy noodles, thy blood be rum, thy sauce be yum, with meat as it is with vegetables. Give us this day our garlic bread, and forgive us our cussing, as we forgive those who cuss against us. And lead us not into ketoism, but deliver us some carbs, for thine are the meatballs, and the sauces, and the grog, whenever and ever.
I was loving watching Sarah's face through the entire
the first time it happens, it's like it just comes over you like sauce.
It was a complete look of shock, and then it was like she was actually being touched by the noodly lord. She's just like, oh, this is great, I'm feeling it, I love it, what is going on, oh, I love this is great, what do I need to do, how do I participate, what do I got to get done? It's fantastic.
Something about this, I don't know.
Sarah, I'd be remiss. How you been since last week?
Good. Busy. Very busy. Busy mom stuff.
Busy new wife stuff. Busy marriage life stuff. You got a lot of things going on.
I'm about to have my 2-year wedding anniversary.
Nice.
And I got myself a present. It's a mouse pad.
Congratulations.
Felicitations.
Cool. Yeah, Zoom was doing the thing where it was taking the background of the mouse pad out. And I was like, is that a custom mouse pad that was cut around?
No, Zoom is just really smart on cutting things out.
Okay, very cool. Riv, always good to see you. How you been since last week? Also, please tell me about the ocarina around your neck. I need to know about it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, I got it year two or more ago, and it's purple clay in China. It's a fully functional 12-hole ocarina, you know. So good for easy practice. I'm actually in the land of the book ban right now for a family member's destination wedding, and I'm just my background. I'm actually in my car at the moment. I just have this background up, and I'm just staying busy with classes, coming to semester coming to an end and just very busy.
Always learning, always developing new talents, and a life well lived of new experiences that you're constantly absorbing, Rev. Nice person to know. Boudreaux, speaking of musical instruments, what's going on with you? What new things have you picked up since last time we spoke?
Oh, boy. New computer, I guess.
Nice.
I wanted to ask Larry what game I need to fire up on this puppy.
We have recommendations.
Yep,
yeah,
we do.
We have recommendations. Yeah, we do.
But 76.
I'm playing that a little bit, actually. We are.
Yeah. Talking to Dredd about this before
now
the
that
show.
It's complete. Sure. Yeah. Okay. I won't be dismissive of games I haven't played, but still. All right, continue. Yeah.
But soccer's in full swing with the kids, and that's consumes most of our days. We'll be heading to Louisville soon. And I apologize. I haven't been able to do the radio show for a long time because our Orange Theory class is smack dab right in the middle of
No sweat. No problem.
Moving it to 11 was great. I got to join, and now I'm just sad that this is it. So, yeah.
Yeah, we could still always do virtual summit meetings. There's still game discussions.
Yeah, and we could always just decide to get together. Yeah.
Okay. We could do like one a month, just what video games are you playing? Yeah, check that stuff out. Yeah.
Love
also, have you had...
Thing.
So if you guys didn't know anything about Boudreaux, I've been over to his place, I think, 2 years ago, and I wanted to go play disc golf with him, right? We're hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my discs, and I have like maybe about $40 worth of discs, which isn't much. That's like maybe four discs total, right? Okay. And I pull them out, and they're all sparkly, shiny, and new. He comes out with like an old backpack. I'm like, well, these are the discs I had when I was first playing. Pulls them out, and it's like a first edition, one of the most popular discs of all time that have like 20 editions after the point.
Oh, really?
Another first edition. Another pre-flight number. And I'm like, Eric, we can't. Sorry for saying your name. Boudreaux, we can't throw these discs. These discs are too valuable. And we just pull them up on eBay one after the other. Each one's like, well, that's $600.
This disc
This one's $400. This one's $40. I'm like, you have like thousands of dollars worth of plastic you don't want to be throwing around here. And Boudreaux's like, well, I'm going to sell them. But I was like, Boudreaux, we got to wash them first.
Grass, get the grass stains off.
Just wash them a little bit. Wash them a little bit. Take some nice pictures of them. And like, don't act like these are like the box of Star Wars toys you have in your closet for like ever and a day. Like, shine them up. Like, dress them up. Put a little dress on them and be like, this is a valuable thing. And then the collectors will come to it. He's got a lot of cool collectibles is my main thing. So if you ever need some spare cash, just hit my boy Boudreaux. He'll help you out.
There you go.
Dread Pirate Higgs, how have you been?
I've been all right. I'm, as you know, I'm enrolled in the paramedic program, so it's full steam ahead.
Nice.
Into session 5 of 16. So, great guns, man. It's lots of work, but really, really cool to learn all this kind of stuff and, expand knowledge. Always learning, right? So. But also on the other front, the Pastafarian front, my lawyer has kicked it up a notch, and we've issued letters to Passport Canada and the Ministry of Public Safety, who are depriving me of my security license, private investigator license, because of this photo issue, right? So he's essentially laid it down and said, look, if you guys don't rectify your behavior, we're going to sue your office. So govern yourselves accordingly.
Nice.
There you go. So
I dig it.
We're waiting for a long enough silence, like a 2-week silence.
Yes.
And or some kind of response, after which we will submit Freedom of Information requests to get all inter-office memos and emails and all that kind of stuff as evidence.
Nice.
And then go right for the jugular.
Right. Every letter that you send to them needs to be on old parchment paper in sepia. Like a watermark.
The Jolly Roger.
The Jolly Rancher on the back is just like, who am I making sure? This is a perfectly reasonable legal letter, but it's on burnt paper on the sides. They like pull it out. They're like, what in the world is going on? It's him again.
With an X mark so spot at the bottom.
malicious compliance.
Well, we're actually looking to sue for damages.
Good.
So there's five government institutions we'd be going after, and we'd hit it high. We'd go for like $5 million and see, you know, if we can, if that'll shake them up enough and cause enough public debate and outrage that ICBC just cavitates, you know, and just delivers or performs on the request.
In any way that it doesn't make your legal standpoint more vulnerable, you're welcome to record this progress as much as you want off my Zoom channel, onto your channel.
Yeah.
I would love to see progress on this because one of my favorite things to do is watching people stand for their rights. And I will watch a lot of videos on YouTube about people who will record as press in public places, like outside on the street, on a public sidewalk, and cops being like, "You're recording in public." And they'll be like, "Yeah." And they're like, you can't do that. It's making people uncomfortable. It's like, you're not the feelings police. You're a law police. And
that's right.
Saying I'm allowed to record in public. It's like, well, this is too public. It's like, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if people are upset. In the same way, you're doing what I imagine is a constitutional, though it's Canadian constitutionally protected activity of expressing yourself. And there is a institution clamoring down on it saying, well, you can express yourself if you're within this religious boundary. And that's not the way how that system should work. So I would like to see you keep fighting. Larry, what's up?
Well, not only that, but people have to remember that protests, the original protests was like the Boston Tea Party. You know, protests don't have to be within the bounds of the law. That's my opinion, by the way.
Ooh,
what I'm saying is, you know, when the police come to, you know, your protest and say, okay, you can protest, but you have to do it three blocks over there in the designated area. That's not what protests are. Look at any of the protests in the 60s. Were they following the law? Were they, you know, signing off on charters, you know, for the permit to their protest? No.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating to break the law. What I'm advocating is you have to do something. What am I trying to say?
It can't be easily ignored by
That can't be easily ignored, I guess.
Yeah,
by the
stand up for your right to publicly protest what you believe in.
I mean, if you had a designated area to go, okay, you have an opinion about something? Okay, go to your designated protesting corner and protest. That's it's something that works. That keeps the point.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it'd be like telling you know, people with the watchtowers that they can't stand on street corners.
Right.
Right.
Thank you for bringing all those points up. I agree. I support it. And I also say, like, don't hurt people. You know, don't cause harm. But otherwise, if you got a point to make, make the point, you know, and and if you got to break the rules so that you don't do it within the boundaries of those who are you're fighting against, say it's allowable, as long as you're not hurting people, I say go for it. I want to see some meaningful protest.
And you got to remember that some laws are meant to be broken. Look at the laws in Nazi Germany. You know, what the Nazis did was not against the law because they wrote laws to support it. You have to stand up against that kind of thing.
You got to break
it. Legal does not mean moral. Yeah.
Right.
Ooh, interesting, interesting, interesting. Man,
not all laws are moral.
Yeah, yeah. Legal does not necessarily automatically equate to moral. Yeah, yeah.
There are awful laws, fools, if you will say. All right. Guys, I want to talk about new beginnings. This is the last show that we're doing, but it doesn't mean that it's the end. Because what I wanted to do is showcase some of the cool things that we've each individually learned about starting our own secular circles in areas where we did not expect to find like-minded individuals, and successes that we've had, tips that we can offer, and encouragement, while not a call to action, but definitely an encouragement for you as a listener to, if you're listening to this and also secular-minded, start your own community, because there's no reason why this should be the end of anything. If anything, it should spur you on to believe that you can do the same thing yourself. So I will throw out mine, and I'd love to hear a tip from everybody else. We'll do a roundtable format. But Larry, my thing was, when I moved to Knoxville for the first time, the first thing I did was I started looking for an atheist community. And when I say I looked for an atheist community, I mean I looked for a A-T-H, don't expect me to spell it on the air, but I was looking for the A word.
Online. You got online. Specifically use that word to find us.
I wasn't looking for humanists. I wasn't looking for rationalists. I wasn't looking for secular groups. Mm-hmm. I wasn't looking for free thinkers. I wasn't looking for humanism. I wasn't looking. You know what I'm talking about. I wanted the hard A. Just hook me up with the Harpe guys. Harpe. Because these are the people that I want to hang out with. These are the people I want to ask questions to. And I was finally at a point where I didn't want to consider myself, well, I'm just not non-denominational, or I'm
agnostic,
or I'm agnostic. I was like, no, I know I'm an atheist. I want to meet other people who also know that they're atheists, because that just saves me a lot of time. And what I look for, I found one group on the whole internet in my immediate area in all of Tennessee, or at least the general area of Tennessee.
In East Tennessee.
I lived in Knoxville, and there was this one group, and Larry had his group. He's like, well, I'm the atheist guy. I'm just like, I typed him. I sent him an email. I was like, are you guys still meeting? He's like, yeah, come over to this pizza place. And I'm like, hot dog, let's go.
Yeah.
Went over there, shook his hands. Larry's like, you sound nice. You want to go on the radio?
Yeah. I need a guest for sure.
No, I need a guest.
Yeah.
No, I was like, yeah, let's do it.
That was 22.
Good job, Larry.
Thank you. No, it was 22 years ago.
You asked me, what's your favorite anime? I'm like,
yeah. Where do we start? He's a good guy. That's how you know he's a good one. So we met some really good people. I met Boudreaux in a similar fashion too, but it's everybody has like a really interesting story for how I met them. But Larry, I want to say, like, my thing was, if you're looking for atheists, look for atheists online. You will be surprised. I did not expect to find such a great group of people to fall into.
Yeah.
But I moved around a lot, right? And same thing with Boudreaux when I was doing like my atheist talks. Like, he found me just because he was looking for guy who's doing talks, atheism channels and stuff like that. I found Dredd through the atheism talks that I was doing. But like, look for atheists specifically. Mm-hmm. And you can save yourself a lot of time from all the other keywords if you just look for the hard A. I found that to be, and there's a wonderful group of people to look for. Dredd, what do you got?
Well, I was going to say, I think you and I actually connected through the Street Epistemology.
Yes.
So, you know, because I think I was a pastafarian then even. Just developing that, reliable methodology for examining one's own beliefs and the beliefs of others. I think that's a good community to get into.
Nice. Sarah?
Oh, same. Ditto.
Oh, same. Oh, same.
I know everybody here now because I met you, Ty. I met you, Wombat, on the Street Epistemology.
Okay. And then we got you into this one. So you can make, so whole thing is
look connections.
And then even from that community, you can make your own communities, right? And then those communities can further spread out and build, but communities can make communities. That's the main thing. And I think I wouldn't have the opportunity to really even discover Street Epistemology if I didn't have the wherewithal to have the courage to meet other atheists. And so like reaching out and finding a community is my most recommended step. Before you start one, my recommendation is look for one, because there might even be one that's available for you that you could work with, get networks with, build friends with, and then start your own separate communities that can merge together and become like a super group of friends to hang out with. But look for atheists. Look for them. They are available. They are around. Right. And I think just by virtue of you looking for one will make you realize that there are a lot more around you than you ever anticipated. I would have never thought there'd be over 1,000 atheists in Knoxville when I first started. I
was especially one in an organized group, which is now a 501(c)(3).
Yeah, nice.
Nonprofit. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to throw out tips for starting your own groups or finding your own groups. Boudreaux, do you happen to have a group making tip?
I do, and maybe my tip would be specifically not regarding building a group, but keeping a group. Because one thing I learned over the years of doing Summit, and many of you maybe already know what Summit's all about, but just kind of quick version of it, and Ty's been to several. Just a group of people that meet in my basement once a month, and we have food, we have drink, we just talk about everything surrounding, mostly a lot like this show, and it's a good time. And I usually invite my open-minded friends, and we've had occasion for two things that have happened. One, anyone who's extremely right or extremely left And get they can get they because it's, you know, it's in person, and they can get to the point where feelings get hurt and people get upset, people get angry. So we've kind of, and I hate to say it, but we've kind of had to censor certain people from the group just because they don't work. They talk to one person, you know, and it's a group of people, and you know, they'll have a conversation with one person. They're just arguing. And it's just, it's ugly. So I've had to kind of curate a little, and it sounds horrible, but yeah, I mean, we've done it here on the show, I think too. And then the other thing too is we like everyone having a drink, having a good time. But that's the other tip I'd give you is make sure people understand, you know, don't overdo it, because with lots of drinking comes more of the same. And we even had one guy get a DUI on his drive home. So
no,
that's
way.
Really trying to push. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we push responsible drinking. And again, just we kind of have to shave off the far right and the far left. And it's unfortunate, but that's my tip. If you're doing something similar to Summit.
Yeah. Especially if it's not conducive to a good conversation, right? Yeah.
I've lost two really good friends because of it too.
Hopefully not through the DUI. Oh, they're locked up now. It's like, dang it. Okay. Well, that's good. Being willing to make changes in the interest of fostering a good community, right? Like be able to make those moderations is a good one. Dredd, I see you. What's up? Any recommendations? Yeah,
you know, I agree with everything Boudreaux said. You know, at the same time, you have to be willing, I guess, to cut away those people that end up being quite toxic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that same vein, you know, there's a couple of people I've known for years and years and years. And when, you know, we started getting into sort of more of those deeper conversations, it actually unveiled some very problematic aspects of their personalities. And, you know, as a consequence, I decided, you know, that's probably not something I need in my life. And so, you know, it actually, you know, allowed me to see that, you know, you have to curate your own friends.
Yes.
You know, you have to make sure that, you're not just trying to acquire friends for its own sake, that you're trying to acquire quality friends, that, you know, can contribute in positive ways, and not necessarily always by agreeing, but, you know, by being able to have deep conversations where you may disagree, but which are constructive and meaningful and educational, right? So
I wanted to throw out, like, in the same vein of Black Lives Matter, and they do, I also want to make the point that you matter, that your time matters, that your friendship matters. And that if you are spending your friendship with somebody, it's good to get at least a net return on that investment, because your friendship does have value. And so if people are taking that friendship and just dumping it in the trash, don't waste your friendship on people like that, because at a certain point, you have to recognize that you matter, your time matters, and that your friendship, most importantly, matters. And a lot of the times when I was doing street epistemology, it's sort of like discount therapy for a lot of people who never really had an opportunity to have like these meaningful talks with someone who's willing to be neutral or unbiased in their approach to figure out why someone thinks a certain way. And a lot of people love that. But a lot of people have so much baggage that they need to be responsible for getting themselves out of before they can constantly engage with me as a person for whom to resolve a lot of their issues with. Like, I found the process for my own part, resolving my own biases religiously and my own dogma limitations to it, like being a bit more of an open-minded person, be rewarding, you know, challenge for myself. But it's not something that I would constantly call up Fred on the phone and be like, Fred, I got a problem. I don't agree, Fred. Well, I don't celebrate. Well, maybe you had some points, Fred. Oh, I don't know. Okay. And then he hangs up the phone. It's like, I don't have time for that.
Right. Life's too short.
Yeah. Life's too short. Enjoy it. And if you can, the way I think of it is you can have two different kinds of friends. Ones that celebrate who you are for all of your differences, and not because of your limitations, but not in spite of your limitations, but because those limitations make up who you are and your perspectives make up who you are and they celebrate every part of you. Or you can have friends that don't do that. And my recommendation is spend time with the friends who do celebrate who you are, the real you, the authentic you, because those are the ones that value your friendship. And
yeah, friends are the family you choose.
Exactly. And families are the friends that you choose in a lot of way, too. It's great.
Yeah, so, that's true. That's true. I've chosen some out.
Thank you guys for being people that I feel like I can celebrate my real self around and just be honest with. And those are the kinds of people to foster into a new community. I do want to get like one more piece of feedback. Sarah, what would you recommend as far as like starting a group or finding friends? Oh, Rib, did you have a comment real quick?
Well, if it's all the same, I was going to say real quick at the beginning, I wanted to say that I met Larry, you know, through ASK. You know, he's been, you know, just a quick note, you know, this is the last show he's doing. And I think that's can't be overstated enough how he's maintained, talking about maintaining groups. He's been this bulwark, you know, not to put you on the spot there, Larry, but this bulwark for just keeping the crew together. And
is that a word we're allowed to say on the radio, Larry? Can we say that word? Is that all right?
Yeah.
You got me last.
You know,
thank you, Riff.
You know, through COVID and everything, and just keeping us all rallied together and, you know, got back on the tap room, and I need to get back going there myself, you know, once semester, so on, eases up.
Yeah, I'm planning to start going again in May, get out of the house a little bit.
But nice. Yeah,
and COVID had me scared for a long time to get out and get with people.
I mean, but then I was going to say the tip thing is that I'm very much working that on myself. But just the upkeep and making sure people, you know, remember, you know, just that presence of, you know, hey, you know, just a random invite every so often, just like that little ping that lets people know sometimes that's all they need sometimes is a little reminder that, you know, hey, I'm thinking about you. It's just such a small notion. It goes so far.
Sarah and I both got our hearts double touched right there. Like, that was nice. That was nice.
Aw, that was very sweet.
That was very nice.
Thank you, Rip. No, we're getting kind of close to the bottom of the hour. Probably need to take a break.
Sarah, we'll next. Be right back. Come back, okay?
Mm-hmm, sure. This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio. Excuse me. 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break.
There's a certain church around, you know it well. They say a lot of people are going to hell. If you show tolerance, in hell you are put. You got a one-way ticket that Westboro will foot. Hell is full of firemen, soldiers, and teachers, philanthropists and activists and innocent preachers, celebrities and deities that ask circumcision. Because of this, I've come to an important decision. Hell, hell, I wanna go to hell. It seems a really fun place to play, but I gotta do what's right and do it every day if I wanna go to hell someday. I wanna go to hell, so I gotta do what mom and dad say. I gotta love my neighbor even if they are gay, so I can go to hell someday. Ellen's really nice, but she enjoys other ladies. Jackman doesn't mind, and so he's going to Hades. Woody Allen, obviously, cause he's a Jew. Also Princess Di, Mother Teresa too. Washington and Jefferson, and don't forget Lincoln. I can tell you now that their souls are a-sinking. Johnny Depp, because he wears too much eyeliner. And Reese Witherspoon, an overweight Rob Reiner. Hell, hell, I wanna go to hell. It seems a really fun place to play, but I gotta do what's right and do it every day if I wanna go to hell someday. Hell, I wanna go to hell, so I gotta do what mom and dad say. I gotta love my neighbor even if they are gay, so I can go to hell someday. Elizabeth I, cause staying single's a sin. Saint Maria Goretti, cause she didn't give in. Spider-Man is hellbound because he is fiction. Marlon Brando's also there because of his diction. Former Bush administrator, Rice Kamakandi. Tom Hanks, Will Smith, and don't forget Gandhi. Hell is for environmentalist outlaw. Even Christ is bound for hell cause he defended a whore. Hell, hell, I wanna go to try to do it every day. If I want to go to hell someday, oh hell, I want to go to hell, so I gotta do what mama does say. I gotta love my neighbor even if they are gay, so I can go to hell someday, so I can go to hell someday, so I can go to hell. Don't you want to go to hell, so I can go to hell someday.
Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Dotter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's take just a moment to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 22nd year, have over 1,100 members. We have weekly in-person meetings every Tuesday evening in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high-top tables or if it's pretty weather outside on the deck. You can also find us online at our homepage at KnoxvilleAtheist.org. We're also on Facebook and Meetup.com. You can just Google Knoxville Atheists. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one. Start one. Wombat, where do you want to pick up?
Yo, we are talking about new beginnings, how to start your own groups, tips for keeping those groups, and all the successes that we've had. Just round up in one nice celebration episode with all our friends who've been with us over the last 7 years as we've like cultivated like communities both in Knoxville, in Kentucky, in Canada, of all places, in wherever the world I'm living at right now, I think south of Nashville, Alaska.
Might be anywhere. Washington in a couple of years, but you know.
Very true, true. But we've had like multiple people from all around the world on the show.
And we're just England, Sweden,
we had Bahamas, Florida, Africa. You know, we've had a lot of different people. Middle East, even. Yeah. So it's been a good show. It's been a good run. Sarah, what recommendations would you bring up for tips for keeping a nice community, secular-minded community? What do you got?
I think it's difficult to find like in-person kind of things. And certainly more populated areas. So if you want to do like an online search, you want to go for your nearest city. So if you, for example, my nearest city, I'm not in this city, but my nearest city is Savannah, Georgia. So I would check that out. Back in LA, it was easier. Everything was LA. You're going to find more atheists in heavily populated, because the smaller populated, there are still atheists there, but they're kind of closeted, you know? Small town closeted, you know? Does that make sense?
Another thing about big cities is they have universities. And universities have a lot of people that go there as believers and leave as atheists, and they stick around. In Knoxville, that's certainly the case.
It happened to me. Dread, what do you thought? Oh, Dread. Okay. What are your comment? What's up? You had a comment.
I was going to say, you know, respecting Sarah's comment there about big cities, you know, I live in a very small city, you know, about 8,000 people, and managed to come up with more than a dozen Pastafarians who enjoy sitting around. And, one thing I would recommend totally is having a communal cook, like a communal meal. Of course, Pastafarians, we have our go-to as, you know, some kind of a pasta dish, but it really does bring people together, sharing food and enjoying, essentially breaking bread together. Nice. And there's a lot of good conversation that comes out of that. But you'd be surprised, yes, they're closeted, but that's only because they don't know their neighbor is an atheist or a Pastafarian. And sometimes all it takes is, you know, someone to put an ad in the paper and say, you know, this is what's going on. Come over and check it out. And all of a sudden you got half a dozen people showing up. So,
yep. you know, and I think this was when I was in University Kentucky land. So I was at least in Lexington when I started doing my street epistemology or Socratic examination talks. And it was largely because moving from Knoxville, where I had a community that Larry had set up, I felt basically really isolated because I didn't know of anybody around. And I thought, well, let me leverage that I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos and I really want to engage and see if I can find a community. I'm at least going to be open with what I'm about and have an opportunity to talk to people. And if anything, that at least scratched my itch for social interaction, given that I have a job that keeps me working on a weird day-night cycle. So I set up my table and I did my talks. And then next thing you know, Bujo reaches out to me and he's like, oh, I see the things that you're doing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's someone else that like wants to talk about this, but not like in a table format, but just wants to sit and eat food and have a conversation. And that's how we met. And then eventually he invited me over to his place. We had the summit a couple of times, which was just like invited to his basement, but invited me in like a good friend. There was no weird judgment level. I just felt like I could be very open with Bujo at all cases. He was open with me. We had like a really good forum that we could discuss. And I think that communal event where I got to see other people interacting, it wasn't maybe until like the second time when I saw brand new people who were new to the summit and I realized the shoes that I was in, but from a different perspective. And they're just like, I don't know if I could say this. Like, yeah, you can say this. You're thinking of you, button. We can have these conversations. And then I saw how much Bujo loved, what was it, Sam Harris and the Darwin catalog. And I'm like, oh, I hate these things. Like, oh, Tyrone always hates these things. But I like these things. I'm like, it's cool. We have differing perspectives on a lot of stuff, but like there's truly no judgment. And we're free to like eat and share thoughts with each other. It's so rewarding to be able to do that on a face-to-face level. I think there is an inherent need for us to be able to do that as humans. So if you are a closeted atheist, I would say take an opportunity to find a community because it could, I didn't even know, Bujo lived like very far away from me either. He was like 7 minutes away from my apartment, right? So it's not hard to find people, even like the bedrock or the middle of America, the most conservative areas that you can think of. You can find people that are willing to accept you for who you are and have some good chat with you. I'd also say this too. Here's my extra tip before we get to Larry, because I apologize for skipping a step. I would say recognize that particularly atheists, I would say, are like herding a bag of cats, right? As Larry once told me. And we are not all the same. Maybe if you go to like a particular church on a block in Georgia, you might find a very many like-minded people who have been told to like a very specific thing, very specific sets of music, very specific types of clothing, et cetera. But for atheists, because we are less controlled by a centralized dogmatic force.
Not authoritarian.
Authoritarian is probably the
we're not authoritarian.
We're not. Yeah. Mm. You'll find atheists that like ABC, some atheists that like Hulu, some atheists that love Disney, some atheists that are all about anime, some atheists that hate anime. 10,000%. They're not in this group. But you'll find so many different people that disagree on like literally everything. But the one thing that they all agree on is that they don't believe in a God, or that they don't believe in a certain kind of God, or they don't find spirituality to be very important, or that they like pasta and they like talking. There's room for everything. What I'm saying. Go ahead, Dredd.
I was going to say, you know, pastafarians are like that, like cat herding.
Yeah.
I think part of it is that we just come to recognize that we don't need to impress people so much with our ideas about how the world works, that, you know, we don't have to take ourselves so seriously that we have to get into a group in order to proselytize our positions and our politics and our beliefs and our spirituality. We can just be and just take it at that. And, you know, so it allows for a looser community.
Right.
But when we do get together, we have a lot of fun, right?
Right. But I do want to. Oh, go ahead, Rafe.
Oh, so I was trying to miss. Trying to get better at timing thing. I tried to leave in a moment to say, and it might not seem like that one common thing with some variations inevitably might not seem like that much matters that much. Maybe when you compare all these different fields of, you know, interests and, you know, worldviews, but it's interesting because once you take away, once you have that one thing in common, you have more room for natural instincts to come in. And all of a sudden, not all the time, but a lot of the times, you have a lot more common understanding of things.
Sure. Yeah. Like the differences are never the most differing thing among us. It's always the commonality of the fact that of all the things that we do, like there's a lot more in that similar bag than there is in difference bag. But I do want to highlight, it's that the differences are never something that we take for granted. They are something to be celebrated. It's okay to be different. And when you realize that everybody's different, particularly in like atheist circles, like everyone's different, you're like, this is okay. Like no one ever looks at me and they're like, you're kind of like a white guy, but your skin's just a little bit darker. That's totally cool. It's like, don't frame me in that concept. In the same way that, and I'm going to throw this out, that like you wouldn't frame like a guy who's gay to being like, oh, but you're kind of like a straight guy, but you just like men. Or like a person with no hair. You'd be like, oh, you're kind of like a person with hair, but you just don't have hair. It's like, you don't have to go through an extra length to frame someone in a different box so that they're more palatable to your worldview. In fact, it's just accept me on the terms that I am, and that's far more valuable. And you don't have to like translate me from one sense to another sense, because there are things that are worth noting about different people. And there are, and the way I think about it is like, it's an enrichment on my culture to understand that there are different people that go through different struggles, different prejudices, different preferences. Maybe they have some new flavors that they bring to the table just by me learning about them. And that expands the contrast or the horizons that I operate under. I love knowing different kinds of people, and I respect that. And I think it's something to be celebrated, and particularly in very diverse groups. And we should always recognize that, because what we do as a habit is we try to generalize. Our brains are always trying to generalize groups of people together. And we get into this tribalistic mindset where it's like, well, they all think this one thing, but I think this thing. It's like, when you recognize that everyone's different, I think it helps you do that less. And that's for the benefit of both you.
And that's not bad. It's not a bad thing.
And it's not a
bad thing. That people are different.
Yeah. All right, Larry, I'm sorry for that tirade. What would you recommend? the arbiter of community to, growing. What would you recommend?
To keep a group together, you mean over the years?
Yeah. And start
one thing is a simple thing. And I started off by having monthly meetings. And that would be like the second Tuesday of the month or on the 15th of every month. But people would miss the date and they'd have to go another whole month, you know, just because they didn't remember that particular time. I would recommend that people pick a place, pick a time, and do it every week. That way, if they forget or if they miss one, they can just come back the next week. It's always there. It's always the same time and always the same place. It could be a restaurant. It could be a sandwich shop. It could be a bar. It doesn't matter. Just make it consistent.
Nice.
I love that.
And be welcoming, of course.
Yeah. You know, that welcoming thing is also a really big point too. The sense of empathy is something that people can immediately recognize, right? And mm-hmm. And I think it's one of the things that churches do very well. Like when you walk into a church, they're hugging you, they're shaking your hands, they're mm-hmm. welcoming you, they're calling you by their name. I'm brother XYZ, I'm sister XYZ. And you sit here next to my family and we'll all sing and dance together. When we're done, we'll shake hands, we'll hug, and we'll leave, and we'll do that for the Lord. And I'm like, you could do that for the community,
friendship. Just having an external family.
Right. There's no monopoly that religion has over community.
Right.
And
it will hold together better in the long run.
Top things to stay away from, I would say. Okay. So Boudreaux, you had a good one. It's like, make sure you curtail the more spicier members of your pot. Anything else that you would recommend that we stay away from? We'll do one last, let's stay away from round table.
I that's a good one. Cause in the beginning we kind of just stayed away from politics. Ooh. Because that just added a layer of, because there was such a broad spectrum of, you know, generally speaking, I think a lot of, there are some similarities between non-believers and politics sometimes, but it can get wonky fast. So, you know, we originally had kind of a leave politics off the table, but gosh, it's become so much more a part of the world, our daily lives, that we started talking about it, but just carefully. Yeah. Don't let it dominate the conversation. Maybe that's my best tip.
I like it.
It works.
My thing would be things to stay away from is everyone's different. Everyone is different, but it's also good. Here's my thing. Everyone's different, but don't have just one community that you base that difference or your entire perspective off of. I would say if you are able to start one atheist community, have two, have three, like have small ones that are online, have small ones that you meet with in person, have ones that you meet only at work or that you're aware of, have separate groups of friends. That way your perspective of what atheism or secularism or whatever that group is about isn't just framed by those four or five people or those 1,000 people, that you always have contrasting opinions so that you never generalize too much on what the way things should be. And the value behind that is a lot of times I'll end up in groups that are largely, even when they're atheist inspired, largely controlled by people of one specific race. And mm-hmm. So like they'll have a potluck and they'll bring in their music and I'll be like, I don't like cold macaroni. And what's that guy's name? Oh, not Elton John, but some other guy who like plays music you'd expect to hear in an elevator. You're like, why is it always these pants, this music, and this food? Like, there has to be other groups that do things slightly different. So like when right. you go into different groups, you'll be like, oh, finally it is different. It's just the fact that these guys like these one things, these girls and guys like these different things, and my black dudes like these mm-hmm. other things. And it's nice to just know, like, okay, they're all atheists. But it's okay that they're different. I don't have to come up with one big complaint. Have diverse groups of friends that, and it's okay for them to be separate. Dread Pirate Higgs, what do you got?
Yeah, just just along the similar lines is keep the conversations diverse,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, don't shrink your bubble so much that you suffocate in it.
Yeah,
you want to make sure that your bubble is big, and I mean, you know, we inevitably get into bubbles and self-reinforcing yes. conversations, but
yes,
you know, as long as you're having sort of overlapping topics and different and people leading with their interests, which are, you know, kind of overlapping, that really helps to keep the life in the party, so to speak, so that it's not just dominated by one or two people who are always leading the conversation and doing all the stuff, and then
yes.
all of a sudden people start, you know, through attrition, they just start dropping off and moving
yes. on to other. Well said, Dredd. Yeah, life is a lot like, you know, Reddit. You can fall into holes, and then you forget that the other subreddits are available, or like a browser where you don't realize the browser's adjusting its cookies based mm-hmm. on your preferences. And when right. you search Apple, it stops showing you the fruit and more the stock for Apple. And you don't realize it because you're just so used to being cater to that when you switch to a new browser, you're like, why doesn't this work anymore? You should have multiple browsers. You should be able to force feedback or correct check your groups of friends so that one very persuasive person doesn't end up controlling the entire dialogue. Sarah, what's up?
You know, Dredd, actually, you reminded me of something that is like a pitfall in a group where, yes, some people are very charismatic and they kind of dominate the conversation. Maybe have some kind of like soft leader or whatever of the group. That way that person can kind of bring it back and give everyone a chance to kind of chime in, you know, maybe have a central topic if that's necessary. Because yeah, I have seen in many different groups, one or two people dominate the entire thing and then no one else gets the chance to say anything. And then people stop coming, you know?
Moderator, I think.
Yeah.
Having a good moderator is important.
Yeah. I would also say, you know, inspire the soft leader or the people who feel like they're being left out to start their own group and have a separate group on their own terms. And that way you can have a free market of groups where it's just simply, hey, if you want to go to the one where it's more led by this particular guy's ideas, you can have that, but you also have one where it's more community driven and it's more in your taste. and you have a whole shelf of different groups that you have available to you at your leisure to make or fall into as you want to. But you never have to go full 100% into just one or the other. You always have the options of making your own group. You always have that power. And so I want us to exercise it. Riv, anything that you'd recommend that we watch out for?
Actually, adding on everyone's kind of points, just kind of adding one little element in there is that be vigilant and observation, especially in the early parts, right? If you know, someone does seem to have forming that natural kind of charisma and they're kind of dominating things, okay, note them, but also note the people who, you know, are just constantly not saying anything, and then try to be that soft person that kind of brings them into it. And then, you know, and not always avoid topics per se, I would say. I would say three times in a row. feel it out, right? If everyone has a general super sardonic sense of humor, why dampen that boat with it? But then if there are people who are uncomfortable by it, you know, then that's where you kind of come in there and just kind of maybe passively, maybe Socratically engage with some of the people and making really strong claims about things, but you know, and just try to get a dialogue going and try to meet it out, chat, you know, just kind of that's been my observation. General social, I mean, so I'm far from an expert, but that's been my general observation.
Nice. Oh, go ahead, Dredd.
I was going to say another thing too is practicing steel manning other people's arguments. You know, you want to build up what somebody else is saying for the best possible interpretation, so that they feel empowered, and then destroy the argument, you know.
So it's what we call growing the pine to chop it down.
Right.
Build it up to chop it down. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know, it's a skill that it takes a lot of practice. I've watched some debates, like say with Jordan Peterson and Sam Harris, and that's a regular exercise they practice on stage, and it's a great demonstration of how a respectful debate can happen, where two people who respect each other treat each other well, and don't have to bash each other like the Flintstones with a couple of clubs back and forth in trying to get their points across. You know, a healthy debate is great, but it has to be done in a respectful manner. So it's encouraging that atmosphere, I think, is helpful.
Cool. Guys, we're nearing the end of the show. I did have a comment that I'd like to share. This is from our last episode, or second to last episode. We were talking about change of plans. Why doesn't God just admit that he needs a new update to his plan? It doesn't seem to be working very well. And if he changed it, not only would he demonstrate that he does exist, but actually also demonstrate that he cares about us as well, right? And so a change of plans would actually be a good thing, not necessarily a bad thing. And Evangelical Carol 5336, who's been a longtime commenter on the show, said, "Either of these two fine human beings," speaking to both me and Larry, thank you very much, "would make a much better deity than the God of Bible." God of the Bible.
And they most people both, would.
Yeah, and they both have superhero vehicles, a very cool motorcycle, and a James Bond smart car. Also, it is funny how Resurrection Day goes directly into April Fool's. Why don't more people recognize that? Thank you, Larry and Ty, for another great conversation.
Cool.
Thank you guys so much. Let's do a roundtable of things that you'd love to plug. Things that you would like to check out. Since this is the last episode, we won't say for next week, but things that you should check out at least once in your lifetime. For me, I do have my channel, Let's Chat, on YouTube. But I would encourage you to check out the variety of good dialogue that's going on that platform, YouTube, for people who are having conversations about things that are oftentimes very difficult to have conversations with. It doesn't even need to be within the scope of street epistemology. What I recommend is that you just make the search to try to find a variety of different talking heads. And I will challenge you on something. If you have a list of very profound thinkers that you know, and they all have the same sex and they all have the same skin color, I would challenge you to try to find different kinds of people to add to that list, because they have something of value to offer too. No, and I've always encouraged this on like Black History Month or like Mother's Day. Learn the names and the contributions of a Black chemist or a female engineer, because they exist, they out there, they contribute every day. And a lot of people can name like Tesla and other like profound names, but they tend to be controlled by history on who we celebrate. But the pedestal of success is far more diverse than what we're offered in our textbooks. So make that an opportunity for you to find different kinds of people who could be luminaries for you to have in your back pocket for good thoughts to be expressed. Riv, I'll throw it out at you. What would you recommend that people check out?
Well, I would shamelessly say Paul Shapira and Matthew Broyles. Look at them both for the musical universe that goes back like 20 years now. It's fantastic. If you get booked on their content, it's so great. Happen to be a canonical character in the Paul Shapira universe. But that's aside the fact. Just great music. And also, you know, my tagline I always go with is, be well, do good, and think good.
Okay. Larry, how much time do we got? Do we have enough time?
About 3 minutes.
Okay, we got time. Sarah, what's your thing that you'd plug? Sarah, what's the thing you plug?
I'm not really plugging anything at the moment. However, I am going to stick around to find out what everyone else says.
Okay. Boudreaux, what do you got?
If you're ever in Lexington, Kentucky, hit me up. Come to a summit. I'll make a summit right around your trip if you want.
He will. Absolutely. He will.
Cool
guy too. He'll show you some soccer games too. They're really nice. Really good. Yeah. I had a good time. Dread Pirate Higgs, anything that you'd like to plug?
Sure. Well, you can check out my YouTube channel, Mind Pirate, MindPyrate. I do weekly uplifting short sermons on all kinds of interesting topics weekly. And to plug another podcast, Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. They've been running for very close to 20 years now. It's an amazing podcast. Dr. Steve Novell is a physician, and he's got his brothers and Kara Santa Maria, who has her own podcast. And every week they're just amazing. So if there was anything I could recommend outside of my own, that would be the one to check out. So
cool.
Nice. Larry, what do you got?
Well, I'd like to.
And just to ask, will you finally admit that souls are real and that we end the show on this?
Not a
we all
chance.
Know it's true.
You have, this is your one last chance, Larry. God's watching the show and he's like, he cares about you. He loves you.
If you'd like to listen to prior shows, and that's all there will be after this one, they are available at podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, LuminaryPodcast.com or iHeart.com, et cetera, et cetera. Just do a search for digitalfreethought.com or Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. And if you're having trouble relieving religious beliefs behind, you can get help from recovering from religion. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And we'll see you next. Well, I guess we won't see you next Wednesday.
You didn't change the script up.
Almost didn't.
Thank you for everything, guys.
Thank you all for coming to the show.
Good to see you, Larry.
Bye-bye, y'all.
Bye-bye, y'all.